So a combination of Minkarju, Okapa, Oluwala, and Yomtokai. And Orville's going to introduce himself. We're just going to go down the row and introduce ourselves, and after that we're going to have a prayer to join us all together. Allow the other people time to get in here.
I'm Dr. B. Yashuka Waka Mujasha Himachapi. My name is Orville Looking Horse. I live on the Cheyenne River Reservation. And back home we speak Lakota. And we're from the Black Hills, the heart of Mother Earth. Wajimaka Chante.
Hi, my name is Samuel Bonder. I was born Jewish, raised in a very Christian part of the South. I kind of yanked east when I was about 20. Eventually became a spiritual teacher, and I'm just really thrilled to come here.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. My name is Audrey Scott Williams. My African name is Nana Akuyasebu, and the translation of my native name is Peaceful Warrior Who Walks the Planet. I am my ancestors from Africa come from the Bay of Bindi. My native ancestry is Lumbee and Cherokee.
Hi, I'm Stephen Dina. I'm the founder of the Shift Network, and I don't have ancestry in indigenous lineages, but I do recognize the importance of this work, which is why I've been a part of it. I'll be supportive. We do a Global Indigenous Wisdom Summit every year, and I've really taken a stand as a company for helping in healing and reconciliation and wisdom exchange as well.
Okay, if you'd like to all stand, we're going to have a prayer from Marvel.
Every day, we start at sunrise, Kaku Shvashkan, when everything moves. The morning star starts the morning. We say our prayers in the morning with a good mind, and that we come together. A prayer, a healing. And we have songs for everything on Mother Earth.
So you'll sit down now. Thank you. So this morning, as I was laying in bed, 5:20, I woke up and I journeyed over here in my imagination, kind of setting up the room and being with all of you, and this is what came to me, is air, earth, fire, and water. That the air we breathe is all that's with us. The earth, even on the earth, is always with the earth. Fire. The fire is always in our hearts, beating and giving us life. And water is always with us. It's in the very air we breathe, even in the desert. So we always are with air, earth, fire, and water, no matter what. And that's what came to me to share with you, because it unites us always and all of humanity. There's so many different ways we're united. So for those of you who were not here yesterday, we're going to give a really brief recap of our presentation, because we want everybody to be as much on the same page as possible for what we're doing. But as part of that, for those of you who are returning, we're going to give you something new right now. Are you ready for the video?
Yeah.
Okay. This is by way of kind of recapping some of what happened yesterday, but also getting us all on the same page for today, too. This is a video that was so generously commissioned by Stephen Diamond and the Shift Network to promote what we're doing.
I need your microphone, please.
Oh, healing our hearts at wounded knee. Out of the boundless love we hold for creation, out of the deepest grace from which the universe unfolds, out of the sourcing of all wisdom, out of embracing the ceaseless compassion, out of the tender yet raging fire of courage, out of the depth of our heart of hearts, let us cherish ourselves, cherish one another, cherish all children. Cherish all women, men, elders. Cherish all of every belief, persuasion. Cherish all of humanity, inclusively in such great need. Let us cherish the two-leggeds, the four-leggeds, the winged ones, all creatures, great and small. Let us cherish and treasure our planetary home. For we have not yet learned to do this. To honor all who have ever died in war and massacre. To honor all who have ever died in Holocaust. To honor all who have been tortured and died. Who have been tortured and lived. To honor the great wounding of humanity. We gather to finally heal. Let us pledge to end massacre. Let us pledge to end genocide. Let us pledge to end racism. Let us pledge to end war. Let us pour forth the power of forgiveness. Let us nest in brotherly, sisterly love. Let us learn the depth, breadth, and eternal nature of our true power. Let us learn what it means to more deeply love. Let us sit in healing ministrations.
Let us sing, dance, make music, art, mingling them together. Let us listen to our stories, dreams, and visions. We call to one and all. Come with us in person, or come with us in spirit. Come with us to Wounded Knee. Let our passion and compassion bring us here on Bended Knee. We bow to you, creation. Heal our hearts at Wounded Knee. Wakong, great mystery, great spirit. Divine grace which creates the galaxies, the stars, our earth, and gives us the mystery of life. Be with us, anoint us, guide us, heal us. Omitakuyase. Summary of what they said, just a very brief summary so that we can all kind of be reminded and for those who are new can be brought up to speed.
May peace be with each and every one of you today. I am a spiritual leader of the ride, Wounded Knee, and I've been riding on horseback since the ride started back in the 80s. We rode the same route that Chief Bigfoot took. Chief Bigfoot is from my reservation, and I'm related to Chief Bigfoot. He's my great grandfather. And seeing that it was just yesterday, this all happened to us. Because I grew up hearing that story from my grandmother and my father, and now I rode. So, I knew our oral history of what it means. The way it's written in books, I don't think it's even already written in the books at all. So we start our route from Cheyenne River. That's where Chief Bigfoot is from. But Red Cloud, you know, he called him to protect him, but he never did. He was massacred at Wounded Knee. Every year, and now we are getting ready for this ride again. Now today is all mostly youth. Healing the hearts. Black Elk, he talked about the sacred hoop of the nation was broken at Wounded Knee, 1890. In 100 years, Virgil Killstreak, he had a dream that in 1990 we would do the ceremony. And we rode sub-zero temperatures. I think everybody knows that the weather changed from South Dakota. It's really hot in the summertime and very cold in the winter. 1990 is the worst. It was below zero all the way through. So by the time we got to towards the interstate there, we was still below zero, and the vehicles, the company, even though they had new cars, their battery froze. But it's very cool. And the snow was knee high. The horses were trailing one route on each other. And wind burns, you know, the cold was painful. And I grew up with a lot of, you know, anger, hatred. But by 1990, I did a lot of healing. We were taught to be warriors and do the best. And we grew up in a boarding school era, boarding school, a lot of military attitude, you know. And it's all from back in the 1800s, our people, even though they were not, our people were not citizens of the United States until 1924, we would still use us in wars, because we were known as warriors, the Buffalo Nation. Yesterday, I spoke about, you know, the spirit of our ancestors during that ride. Different times, people saying different things. As we were coming to, right in the middle of South Dakota, there's an I-90, the interstate. And there was police there. The days are short in winter time. And it was still dark. It was kind of dark when we were going through there. And there's police about 10:15. And as we got there, they were waiting for us. I thought they were waiting for us, and they were just not leaving. He said, well, who was that group of people that went by? So, we don't know. That's all we said. But they helped us go through the interstate. And the spirits were ahead of us. And as we made camp, you know, we did our offerings that evening. And we all start up in the morning with the prayer. We circle horseback riders, and I do a prayer in the morning. And as we rode into the camp, we would circle up and do a prayer in the evenings. Trying to have a good mind. As we rode from Kyle into Wendenin on December 28th, 1990, as I look back, hundreds of horses, over 200 horses, same amount of people that were massacred back in 1890, and hundreds of cars, lights everywhere. And we circled up. The only thing that really stood out in my mind, and I said it at that circle, as we pray that there would be no more Monday needs throughout the world. And these words have been used different times. And today, I say these words again. So, thank you for being here. And we'll talk to you more, okay?
Y'all hear me?
Not very well.
Not very well.
Here.
Here
we go.
Yeah, I'll keep mine fairly brief. Not long after 1990, in the early 1990s, as I was beginning my teaching work, I became aware much more deeply of what had happened at Wounded Knee and really the genocide of the Native American peoples that this whole country is built upon. And I wrote an essay at that time that basically acknowledges and suggests that until we heal these collective karmas, until we deal with our collective shadow of this extreme nature, the promise of democracy in this land and really anywhere else can never be realized. So I talked about that a little yesterday, and Jean had asked me to discuss from the point of view of psychology, biology, neurology, the nature of trauma, and how multi-generational trauma now is not only recognized as a psychological reality, but also biological. And it's built into the genes of the children of survivors and even multiple generations beyond. And because, again, even proven scientifically what we know in our hearts, because we are so open to one another and so impressionable by one another, really all of humanity is sharing in these karmas as both perpetrators and victims. But the good news is, not only has it been clear for a long time, and now, of course, being proven scientifically, neurologically, that we can cultivate resilience, that in addition to extreme post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, there's actually a whole new field now called PTG, post-traumatic growth. And the cultivation of resilience is something that, from a religious point of view, here at the Parliament of Religions, in our traditions, we've known for millennia that resilience can be cultivated, but now it's sure enough being proven again at the cellular and the molecular level. And for me, the kind of ground perspective is a recognition that the godness, the divinity, the oneness, really, biologically, is actually seated in our hearts. The same place in our heart that's the source of the heartbeat. Great mystics have recognized as the ultimate place of living and knowing and feeling, radiating, manifesting divine unity, love, compassion, and freedom. So the outlook is bright, but we have tremendous work to do, and that's why I'm thrilled to be part of, honored to be part of Healing Hearts at Wounded Knee with you. Thank you so much for coming.
Hi again, my name is Audrey Scott Williams, and yesterday I shared stories from my work, which has basically been walking the planet, and also looking at how I use that experience to find healing for myself, to merge my African and Native ancestry in the midst of two very catastrophic events, one being the Atlantic slave trade, which over 12 million people were displaced from Africa, over 3 million laid at the bottom of the sea, the Atlantic Ocean, and the Trail of Tears, or the Trail of the People Who Cried, where Native Americans were sent across the Mississippi as gold was found in the South, and particularly in Georgia in 1834, started marching the many of the Cherokee Creek and other nations on the East Coast without proper clothing, promised food would be along the way, food never arrived. Blankets were given that were smallpox infected. There were nearly 6,000 people, I think almost a third, if not closer to a half, actually dropped, women and children, and then dropped, and the elders, in the freezing cold and died. So in the Cherokee, the actual literal translation is the trail of the people who cry. So for me, it was how do I carry that? You know, that DNA, knowing that was part of my lineage. How do I heal that? And I had a dream in 1999 when I was in Wales where five flames were brought together, lit by indigenous people on five continents to become the world peace flame, and it's still burning at The Hague now. I had a vision coming back from that event, walking that night on a full moon, and the vision was it was time to go back and walk for my ancestors. And I didn't know I could really do it because I was going to walk from Pennsylvania to Georgia, honoring the Underground Railroad trails of the North, where those who were escaping from slavery, and honoring the Trail of Tears at the South, particularly on the trails where people escaped that route and made their way back home. And as it came to me, we made that walk. That was the very first walk in 2000. In 2000, 2 years later, we went to Africa and walked the path that the Africans were marched from the jungles and forests to the door of no return, where they were put on ships and sent forward. Having shared that, it wasn't so much to bring up the pain, but sometimes we have to bring up the pain to allow the healing to take place. And so when I was given the vision for the walks, the Trail of Dreams World Peace Walk, I was told by my ancestors that it was time to return the dreaming to the children. And so the walk became a way of learning that the first step is to listen. Listen deeply. Because through the ashe, or the what the ancestors have put in our blood, that one day we will receive the vision or the dreams that are going to guide us through this healing, back to the unity that we spoke of, back to the four directions coming back together again in the sacred room. And this is the time for that. So as we listen and we hear the call, then the next step, people say, well, then what do I do with it? We move forward one step at a time. And one of my elders used to say to me, you have to stay one step behind spirit. If you step out ahead of spirit, you're on your own. You know? So we move one step at a time. And then the third thing that I spoke about was the power of ceremony. You know, sometimes we have to go through all the ways that so many of our indigenous practices have been made like devil worship or something evil. And we have to go in there and we have to reconnect with our ceremony. And we get, because it's in our hearts anyway. And so when we enter into ceremony and we dance and we sing and we drum and we sit in silence, we go get our visions, it is us connecting to what is one of the most holiest pieces of our journey. And that is back into that space where we can remember who we are, we can reconnect with our ancestors, and we can remember that the very first thing of call to humanity, if we don't get anything else, is to love. And when we move into that space of love, we can begin to heal. And through the process of healing, we can bring the world back into the state of oneness that's needed right now, because Mother Earth is hurting. Mother Earth is crying. Our people. The Maasai say, if they want to know how somebody's doing when they come to visit, they say, how are the children? Our children are not well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're keeping it in order of our presentations. So I, in acknowledging not only these presentations, but in acknowledging the great sacrifices of humanity throughout the millennia, I've issued this, been, my calling is related to this great healing. We started on. I know it's already taking place.
many of us are healers here. So I issued the invitation for us to create Great Global Ceremony this December 29th at 12 noon, wherever you are across the planet, and for us to invite the Spirit and the Sacred to walk with us and guide us as we go through this. This is new territory, and we're going to be bringing home the wisdom that's buried in this great suffering. So part of my presentation was actually in this video slide over the column. This was a little bit edited, so that was part of it. And the card that you have has our mission here, the invitation for you and for everyone around the planet. If we could get everyone to join in ceremony with us. Whoa! Far out! So everyone should have a card. If you don't have the card, it's a gift to you. There's some on the back chair back there, but please let us know at some point so that you can have that with you. And so Stephen came after me.
So again, I'm Stephen, and I just spoke to the importance of this work, not just for Indigenous people, but for all of us. We created the SHIFT Network to really empower the SHIFT to a sacred culture, a culture that is based in health and happiness and prosperity and peace. And I don't believe that it is possible to create that culture on a planetary level until we have a healing and reconciliation and clearing of these genocidal wounds and to restore. There's a Hopi prophecy around this is the time of restoring the sacred hoop, and the black tribes and the white tribes and the yellow tribes and the red tribes are going to again join into one sacred family. And I believe that that is important because each stream carries wisdom that is required for this new whole culture of oneness where we really recognize our divinity and that we are one sacred family on this planet. And there was a great opportunity missed when people came from Europe, and there's such devastation, it's horrific to read of what happened in the Caribbean and the Hispaniola and with the indigenous peoples there. Just some of the worst things that you can possibly imagine. And that is important for us to face and to work with and work to clear, not just in our own self, but literally in the field of the places where it happened, in the locations, in the histories of different people. And as we do that, we are each restoring the sacred hoop. We are coming back together into the sacred family quality that can really birth a new culture in this world. And so I really believe that it is all of our work to join in friendship, to join in recognition of shared wisdom exchange so that we can reclaim some of what was lost in this missed opportunity, where if we had fused the cultures of Europe with the cultures of America, or so they learned to dance and exchange, we would have become a more mature and generous democracy here in America. But we still have that opportunity. And I believe that what we can do literally with Wounded Knee is to focalize our collective attention on just one of so many massacres, but in that to then link in nodes around the world, not just even here, but places where violence is expressing in the Middle East, or there's, you know, thousands of years of collective history of trauma and war that need to be released. It's almost like there's a pressure that builds up collectively in the psyche, and that feeds into the polarization, which then feeds into the animosity, which then feeds into repeating these patterns. And so we, as peace builders and healers, can join together in our community, each one of us gathering, even if it's just yourself during that time in prayer, but you can also invite a small circle of your intimate friends to join in prayer for that healing. You can create your own ritual at a place of of trauma. You can go to the local prison. You can go to a place where there might have been a local massacre where you were. Joining in those circles is releasing some of this collective pressure, some of this collective trauma. And I believe that in doing that, we are in service to clearing the trauma from the world and preventing these atrocities from happening again. So this moment can be a moment in which we really activate a large network of people and allies to come together. I think it's beautiful if we can do it with Indigenous and non-Indigenous people working together to the extent possible in different locations, but even just inviting your friends and allies to join you in this moment, so we really join us in one spirit and one prayer to restore the sacred family of humanity.
So I think we're all up to the same place now. And we pass out index cards. So please make use of these index cards, because we have we don't have much time for together, and we want to open this up right now to these points that we're going to be doing here. We've done the brief recap. So what we're going to be doing is jumping around a little bit. We have a mic up here, and we want to have an open discussion. We've received our call. We are already called. And it was, I guess, one example is with that poem and the call. And this is part of why we're all here, because it's part of this great parliament. And this work we're going to do right now, this is ignition. So use those cards. We don't have time to hear from everybody. Write your ideas, your questions, suggestions. Please turn those into us also. We have a clipboard going around. Please sign that clipboard and give us your email. We want to make available to you whatever we capture here. So if you would like to receive that, there's three clipboards going around, so make sure that you get that on there some way or the other, please. And then, we're going to be talking some about the sites where we do need to have healing and that are actually at bursting point right now. And Stephen had brought that up yesterday in one of our talks, maybe the day before yesterday in one of our talks about the Middle East. And if we could have a group of people that are there in the Middle East, if you could capture this one, this is hard, sorry. Have a group that could be in the Middle East, maybe several places in the Middle East, and do the ceremony there at the same time. Africa, there are so many places in Africa. If you have connections in Africa, and this is where if you have ideas right now about places that you already feel called to participate with, be thinking about that. Because the minute you can make a commitment to join with this, you're going to be receiving inspiration. Your lives are about that. Our lives are about this. So, we also want to talk about the resources that we already know are here for healing this. And then we'd like to hear from you about all those. There were many, many that raised their hands about the commitments to do ceremony with us and talk about. Hear from you about the commitments that you're willing to make for that, and then talk about the implications for the future with this. And I don't know that it needs to be in necessarily this order. These are the objectives, you know. This is sort of a linear kind of way of looking at this, but this is a holy work, and holy in W-H-O-L-Y and H-O-L-Y both. So however we need to communicate about this, we really want to
have an opportunity here. We're walking down a new path together and through this open door together. And we're going to be holding ceremony on this December 29th. And we're going to be making a pledge. We're going to be honoring what has happened to us through this millennia, and we're pledging to change this course, to end massacre, to end war, to end genocide, to end racism. And we back up from that, then we start to see what the needs are. We're doing this ceremony this year. We do things in a 4-year cycle, so we will be doing this ceremony every year for the next 4 years. Because this is a process, we're entering a process together. And we're going to be growing and maturing and learning through this whole time together. The wonderful thing about this is the level playing field for every human. I don't care if you're Putin or the Dalai Lama or all of us here. In our ancestry and in our humanity, we carry this. And so it becomes, to really mature together, it becomes incumbent upon each individual. And I would say particularly leadership on this planet. What are their motivations and how they lead? And how does that relate to massacre, multilineal wounds that are in their unconscious? I would have to bring up Hitler as an example, because I don't know how many of you know his history. He had a childhood where he was beaten and I think he came from a broken family too, but that part I don't know. But I do know that he was beaten, and he had a lot of anger in him. He was also a spiritualist. He had some guides that were helping him. So, but that he was suffering from this, and I think he's an example of what happens when leadership is fueled by this multi-generational wounding. And I submit that that also causes the lack of integrity, integration, wherein you have leaders who are willing to lie. It's because they aren't integrated. They don't have their full integrity yet. And mislead and manipulate. So these are all symptoms of the need for maturation. I didn't know I was going to get up here and do this huge thing, because I really want to hear from you too. So,
question.
Yes, yeah.
And then we have this mic. Is anybody who's going to talk? I think you heard. Okay, just to supplement the areas where you've already focus. Yes, we do need to focus on the healing and the dissipation of that. Things that would help each of us be the best we can be, in my humble opinion, would be if you could share with us a brief daily practice that could help us to dissipate any of the built-up anger that we have in ourselves from the numerous lifetimes. If our memories are coming back now of being involved in this, we have to learn how to have a practice to dissipate that, to dissipate the anger, number one. Number two, while we have the grandmothers here, it is really mission critical, in my humble opinion, that we learn from the grandmothers what are the potential hot spots that by focusing the healing on them now, we can avoid a Ukraine. We can avoid something that may be very ripe right now. There are the things that have already hit the news of things horrific that have happened that need to be healed, if we can also be a little proactive. And I totally trust that all of us will be given, and our young as well as those of any age will be given the visions. I trust that each of us has a piece of that vision, and that by working together, we will know what are the likely spots that if we can focus a little bit more love, healing, and understanding on it, maybe we can help tip the balance and avoid a wounded knee tomorrow. Just,
would you be able to name any of the hot spots that come to mind to you right now?
Korea.
And then, do you have any way of connecting with the grandmothers? Or does anybody here have any way of connecting with the grandmothers? We are in connection with the grandmothers.
The web.
Well, this one I think is longer.
Yes.
Escoli, thank you for, we didn't want to take the show from you this week. We've had our moment. But first of all, I want to thank the young man for recognizing the Hopi prophecy from the Hopi people. And we travel with many people from many indigenous backgrounds. And it is wonderful to sit here and hear about the presentation about wounded knee, because we all have a wounded knee in our background. We all have where we have been traumatized by either our own families, our own tribes, or the government, or the universe. So it is good to see that. One point I do want to make as I listen to all of you is that there is an honor in the leadership that has gone before us. And you mentioning Hitler and Black Elk. Black Elk is truly one of my mentors. Through his spirit, I have learned a lot. But there's also another important person, and that is Gandhi. And if we look at Black Elk, Gandhi, Hitler, they were all under the universe at the very same time. They were all born around the same time, and they all crossed over about the same time. And a lot of people aren't aware of that. And they held the earth in balance. And that's what we need to remember to do, is that there will be people on the earth that are here to harm us, and there will be people on the earth that are here to heal us. And it's all about what we choose to do and keep the earth in balance. And right now, with the earth being so out of balance, it's now time to look at what we need to do. And our mission is to go forward into the tribes and bring that message. And it's an honor for us to hear from you so that we can also take that message forward. Esqua.
Please come up so we can, otherwise people cannot hear you.
My friend here. Over here.
Oh, here's another grandmother. Sorry.
I'd like to say thank you so very much. Blessings to you. And Chief Harbor Looking Horse and the panel. Thank you, Steve. I would like to share with everybody a simple way of prayer that was shown by my mother. I'm going to move up front a little bit so that you can see this. This is what we call murmurio, which means humming. And throughout my life,
This is the way that my mom embraced me. I come from Central America. This is where my heart is. These are my people. In my prayer, this is where my prayer goes. Because we have been in war ever since I could remember. And we're still migrating. The mothers and the fathers are sending their babies up north just to get away from the atrocities. And so this is a lullaby in which we call murmurio. We hold our hearts. My mom would hold me. And she would embrace me. And this is the sacred prayer, the sound that we send out to the universe, where we connect each other, all of us that are in that place of suffering. And you can rock yourself and love yourself. When you feel the love of the Mother Earth moving through you, you share it with others, and you think about your family, you think about your brothers and sisters, and you think about your moms and your dads and your extended family. Beloved Creator, how beautiful you are that you enter into our being and you bless us. Because each and every one of us, it doesn't matter who we are, we long for your love and your tenderness and the beauty that we feel with every fiber of our being. Beloved Creator, bless us. Love us as we extend this love out to all of the people. Beloved Creator. Sending the beautiful love out in the four directions, beloved. Healing all of the people, all of the animals, beloved Creator. Healing all of the earth, beloved Mother. The mountains and the valleys, the rivers and the streams, beloved Creator, the oceans, all of life. Prayers out into the universe, beloved Creator, because we're also star children. This is our beginning of life, and we are not the brothers and sisters of the stars, beloved Creator. Thank you.
And help your neighbor.
I want to share something really important right now. I think, is it Flora Mayo? Is that right? Flora Mayo? Flora de Mayo. You get it right, sorry. We were thinking there should be not only the prayer, but a song that could go around the earth on December 29th. And to me, with it. If everyone could enter into ceremony and then an hour of song, your song, this song, and it will circle the whole planet. The whole planet will be in song together with these prayers. With your permission, I feel like this is. What do you think?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I just, this is a piece. I mean, this is us listening, and our hearts listening. We're doing this right now. It's so beautiful.
Okay. So, Jane, before can I say
something? Yes. Yeah. So sorry.
One moment. I just want to in the energy and space of that. What was really coming to my heart is the power that I received from that is that this is a time when we're all remembering. You know, I mean, this is a time when we're all being reborn in the space of knowing. And so often we want to look out there that somebody out there has the answers. But the answers right now are in all of us. And when we connect with that sacred knowing, we're listening, we're hearing the voice of spirit and the voice of our ancestors, we will know. And so if this becomes, this lullaby is nurturing our remembering and our rebirthing and our knowing and our cherishing.
I've done a lot of work in forgiveness in my own life, and what I've learned, my name is Sonia, and it's an honor and a privilege to be able to be talking to you with something that I've just recently learned from my work, and that is that the way I understand experience is like a number scale. There's positive, there's zero, and then there's positive numbers, and there's negative numbers. And if I'm only willing to deal with negative two, I can only get positive two. And if I want positive 10, I must be willing to acknowledge and deal with negative 10. And in our culture, we have put such a prime thing on the positive, on the good. And particularly in this community, we focus so much on love and blessings and wonderful things. With this work of healing, the work is in dealing with constructive shame, with understanding deep, deep shame, and honoring that and finding skill and ways to embrace that and learn and grow forth from that. And so what we all need to do is to learn how to embrace our own shame and to find skills to lead people in constructive growing out of our shame. And so I would call upon you as your daily practice to be the leaders, to look into yourselves and to find the ways in which you perhaps have caused harm and learn how to forgive yourself and come up with skills that you can then bring to the world. Because until we do it for ourselves, how can the great harms, the greatest harms, the people who have done these massacres and these terrible things, they have a long path. They have a long, long path to be able to come whole. And if we want to embrace them and bring them forward into that, we have to have skills for dealing with shame in a good way, in a way that will actually heal that. So I call on you to work on your own shame and to embrace it, because we do want the positive 10, and we need to be able to embrace the negative 10 and make it work for us.
Thank you.
So my name is Lori Childers, and my ancestors came to this country more than 400 years ago. So I am an unwitting beneficiary of all of the massacres, the horrors, and theft of land. Not everything is terrible about my culture, but one of the good things is I was taught to apologize. So I personally apologize for anything, everything that my ancestors did that took away so much beauty and so much injustice came of that action. I want there to be a way for public and personal heartfelt apologies as part of this healing. It follows through with what Sonia was saying. I know that with Sweetwater Nanook in Pacific Northwest, I did a ceremony with her. You know, there are ways, but if this can be part of, I think it's a necessary part of the healing to acknowledge this, but I would trade all my privilege for there to have been justice and peace.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Tova Jacober, and I work in the field of energy medicine. And I first want to thank you all panelists for being shifters and doing the work that you need to do to name the trauma and as a way of healing it. And for everyone here, we are all shifters. And just to show up here and hear the stories that we've been hearing, and to feel the pain as a way of healing it, and creating a new DNA imprint for our future, our collective future. It's very beautiful, and so privileged and honored to be here as a witness and a participant. So I wanted to name a couple of practical give a couple of practical suggestions for what we each can do as a way of shifting, and one has to do just with the arrangement of physical space here. I noticed that all the chairs are set up in straight rows, so there's facing the panelists face the audience. But as a practical suggestion, I would suggest that we set the chairs up in arcs.
That.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, just so that we can see each other's, and look into each other's eyes and see each other, as well as the panelists, and looking into your eyes. So there's that. And then in working with trauma, in these sacred vehicles that carry us through our lives, these bodies that we inhabit, when we feel pain, children and animals release pain through shaking and vibration, and we learn as we go through life to suppress that and contain it, and which actually perpetuates the pain and it creates a holding pattern for trauma. And there's a lot of research about this, and there's a very practical exercise called TRE, or trauma release exercises, developed by Dr. David Verselli, which is a method of releasing natural muscular tension stored in the body and in the psyche. And it's a way of activating that shaking and that vibration, and not through actually re-experiencing the story, but just through some simple physical exercises that activate it and releasing it. And it's something that can be done daily. You can learn it on YouTube. You can go to the website called traumaprevention.com and learn how to do this. And it's been done, he's gone to places in the Mideast and Africa where there's been intense trauma, and taught people how to do this, and with veterans also. And there's been tremendous healing that's happened just through allowing that trauma to release through shaking. And it can be done privately at home. And it would be lovely to have a workshop like that here. Just, it can release stored trauma. It can release trauma that's been stored for generations in the body. It's a way of carrying forward and creating a new imprint. So I just wanted to offer that.
I'm going to say a couple of things in response to these two suggestions. What we're identifying now are areas with future implications. It's happening. It's just spontaneously. So I would think that relating with the shame, maybe you could be thinking about organizing workshops or having that as part of the ceremony. The same thing with the shaking, organizing workshops around that or having that as part of the ceremony. We're all being able to hear these things together, and so it's activating things, of course.
Hello, my name is Carmen. Thank you, everyone, who's spoken. Thank you guys so much for doing this. I wanted to just give a little anecdote to kind of release some of the abstractness. I'm a mixed race, but my mother's side, my grandmother, we're Quechua from Mexico. If you've seen it in history books, they probably call them Tarascan Indians. and one of the most painful things that's ever happened to me was when I was learning the Wurupacha, and I was trying to learn like the alphabet and learn some stuff about where we come from because we still live on the land there. And my grandmother was here, and she started crying, and I said, "What's wrong, lady? What's wrong?" And she said, "Like, this is so shameful." I asked, "What do you mean? What do you mean this is shameful?" And she said, "We lost." And I said, what do you mean we lost? And he said, just don't take that stuff out again. And I think I had taken for granted so long that there's a pride to be found in your identity, but she's heavily Catholic, like the Spanish one. She was so happy when my mother married a white man and had me. And she's like, "Oh, Carmen, like, your skin is so beautiful. You're so lucky. You won." And like, that is a painful experience. Not for me. I mean, I'm fine in that regard. Like, white privilege is a thing. I can, I'm Muslim. I can wear a beanie and that prejudice goes away. But this idea of like the intergenerational pain and the pain of the ancestors is so alive and so real. And I just want to posit this like truly deep gratitude for what you guys are doing and being prideful in something, identity that has often caused so much shame. The other thing that she said to me that like, just made me cry and I still think about was when I was asking about the religion that they used to practice, Wicca, because she still had some relics of her own grandmother, and I asked why, they don't do anything anymore, like, this from the whole land, like, the mountains sing, he said, the mountains didn't help us when they came over them, and this just feeling of like hopelessness and loss, and having to resign yourself, it's very much an indication that, it's a continual process.
So we have 15
minutes. I just want to say one thing. You said you honored us for the work that we were doing. I just wanted to say you are doing it as well. We are doing it together. So you just did.
And I also wanted to say they haven't won.
No.
Which is really true. Because you, and that's something we have to always remember, that energy in our DNA, see, the Ashe is in you and in generations to come. And so that wholeness and that sense of who we are that goes back to our roots can never be killed. And Carmen, the mountains are always singing. It's just that for humanity, we've been through a period of time when we haven't been able to hear the mountains sing or participate with the love that's being given up. We have 15 minutes left. So, I wanted, this is so rich, you can tell we're tapped into a huge wellspring. So I think we'll just continue for a few more, and then I want to start talking about ceremony, you know, so we can plan together something.
My name is Anita Snow Orlikoff. My mother is Rosemary Nixon Snow. This is her fourth binary. She's here with me and my sister. Her mother is Rosalie Nixon. I need to go back four generations, but I only made three. Sorry. I feel I'm in the right place. I was moved to come up by the beauty of your invitation to a song that would travel around the world. And I just wanted to share an image of that that I have found so beautiful. I hope you don't take it as me teaching you. I'm sure you already know about this. But I wanted to share it with the group. So we have been given the picture of how we are all on one planet. So we can all at this moment imagine what that beautiful planet looks like when you're looking at it from the perspective of the sun. And it's floating, you know, it looks to me like it's floating there. And at any one time when you look at it, half of the planet is in the darkness of night and half of the planet is in the lightness of day. And there is an edge between the darkness and the lightness that is continually traveling all the way around this planet. And if you take your zoom lens and zoom down and get closer to the planet, you will start to hear the song of the winged ones as they're greeting the dawn. And this song is continually traveling around the planet. And so if we did this, we would be joining in with them. I just wanted to share that.
And you have done this through the power of the Christ within you. Thank you so much. And thank all the Native American people, all of them, the Aborigines, and those in New Zealand. Thank you. Thank you for preserving us without the deep wars that are in Europe and in Asia and around the world. This is Turtle Island. It is a special place. It was in the very beginning, and it still is. There is a Dr. John Bradshaw at the University of Colorado that presented a way that we can personally release the traumas and the pains and the hurts. And we go into a meditation and go into our heart, which is the mother. The mother spirit is within our heart. It is the I am. It is that part of us that is God. It is that part of us that is God. God is all that he is. And Dr. Bradshaw taught us that if we can go into a meditation and see the darkness within us, because it's in all places of our body, it can't be just in one place. It's in all parts of our body. And if we can go into a meditation and see those dark places and put a dumpster out there if you need to put a dumpster or a garbage can or a black garbage bag, something that you can remove those emotions. It's the emotion and it is the thing that is in the mind. So we have to pull it out of the mind, out of the memory, out of the heart, out of the body, out of the emotional body, which is outside of our physical body. The emotional body is just outside of our physical body. And if we can bring those emotions and put them in the dumpster, put them in the garbage can, and just let it be hauled away into the light to be transmuted into light and love. And we can assist one another in doing this. And there is a song. Love is the only power. Love is the only way.
Love is the only power. Love is the only watch our circle grow. And if that song will go around, it's so simple. Thank you so much.
It is such an honor to be here with you. I am touched deeply. I've told anybody that yesterday changed my life, and this is just a continuation of it. And what I would like to offer, it's a little shift. My name is Monica Willard. I represent the United Religions Initiative at the United Nations and have been the co-chair of the International Day of Peace NGO Committee at the UN since it started. And it's with the SHIFT Network. It's with people all over the world who are already praying at 12 noon. So I'm here to link networks and to say that it isn't just Wounded Knee. There are people who are praying daily at 12 noon. We need to really strategize. And I was also hoping that looking at the four, not just the four directions of the 4 years, but if there was something we were really aiming for the first year, the second year, the third year, and the fourth year, and to see how we can keep this going, because there are some amazing clocks and networks and internet and all kinds of things that could be helpful. And December 29th puts us to the start of ending 1 year, moving into the next. And 12 noon, as John McDonald said, for Earth Day at the United Nations, which is March 21st, on that particular day, the balance is so balanced on the equinoxes. And so let us use that 12 noon, not just on December 29th or September 21st or other days, but every day from now on.
Thank you.
I told one man over here that he would be after this lady. You're going to go ahead? Okay. This has got to be the last person. We have 5 minutes.
Can I just make a request?
Yes.
We're so lucky to have Chief Looking Horse here. Can he have the way too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have 5 minutes with any request. There's an uncle at the back who wanted to make a statement. Please.
We are present at such a phenomenal time in the history of the two legends. What we are doing today is focusing in on details that bring back devastating memories. It is important for us from this divine creator sources, thoughts, to be able to begin a process of healing the ancestral memories. This is easily done by each and every one of you, by not having to follow a set ritual, set ceremony that is established by anyone else other than you. You wake each morning, and as long as you can see the rising of the sun, the divine creator source has said, you, my children, I have birthed you with such brilliance of spirituality. Take this, embrace this. For when you do this from the depths of your heart, with the intention that from that heartbeat on, all shall heal, all shall awaken, and all shall step in the way that is good. We are called, not by our choice, that we are called by this divine creator source. Therefore, all of you, in this time of gathering, parliament, awaken within you those memories, those rituals, those moments of connection with this divine creator source. When you do so collectively with every beat of the heart and not a specific day, we are birthed onto this Mother Earth to celebrate the ability of a silhouette that is so brilliant in a two-legged form to take it and learn to allow each step to be with this divine creator source. Blessings, 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 blessings.
You Walla from the Havasupai tribe in the Grand Canyon. Thank you.
To commend the members of the panel and acknowledge the amazing work of Arbal Looking Horse, Keeper of the Sacred Pipe, and also acknowledge my friend Virgil Kilstraight, who was a very important part of the organizing of the Chief Bigfoot Memorial Ride during the commemoration of the massacre at Wounded Knee in 1990 and 4 years leading up to that, and riding on horseback over 300 miles through winter conditions, sometimes with the wind chill conditions reaching 80 below zero, because that last year that was true. And anyway, but I want to address the way in which the And by the way, my name is Steve Newcomb. I'm Shawnee Lenape, and I'm a co-founder and co-director of the Indigenous Law Institute. Virgil and I founded in 1992. I'll make this really quick, but I want to address the way in which the panel was described in the book, because it's talking about truth and reconciliation commissions in places like South Africa, Canada, and so forth. When I was at the Melbourne Parliament of the World's Religions, I went into a reception, and there was an Aboriginal man who was in the midst of making a statement about that very word, and he said, how in the heck can we redo something we never did to begin with? And it was something that I had been thinking a lot about, because I go deep into the words, into the nature of this colonizer language. And the reason I bring that up is because when we're talking about trauma and we're talking about these instances of these heinous acts against our fellow human beings, these are acts of domination and dehumanization. And what has happened is that there's an institutionalization of domination and dehumanization throughout the entire world order that I think is not being adequately addressed. And we have to name So it's a persistent and ongoing chronic domination and dehumanization throughout the planet. That's really what we're dealing with, but we're not addressing it by those words, domination, dehumanization. I saw one place in the booklet that's talking about dehumanization, and so that was excellent. Anyway, I want to address that because I think it's so critically important, and we can get into more of that. And this is a kind of a shameless promotion here, but we're having a showing of our documentary movie directed by my friend and colleague Sheldon Wolfchild, who's Dakota, and a descendant of the 38 plus 2 descendants that were hung at Mankato in 1865, 38 plus 2 of his ancestors. And our documentary movie is entitled The Doctrine of Discovery, Unmasking the Domination Code. And it's an effort to get at this domination and dehumanization system that I'm referring to and address the way in which the sacred places and all these other things are, there's a permission that's been built into the system for them to do these things, despite our original free and independent existence at the time that the colonizers arrived with the claim of discovery. So that's at 3:30 in Ballroom J, and if any of you can make it, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much for your time.
That's by way of some of future considerations also. And domination and dehumanization is all part of this great legacy of violence, too. We are out of time, and we have another group that is following us, so we can't just linger. Please do fill out all your cards. The sign up sheet, where is the clipboards? Where are the clipboards? Yes, I'm going to ask Arvel to do a prayer, a closing prayer for us, because you can tell this is very fertile and rich need that we have here.
Să fie a petit de ce e una ca mine și the spirit have called upon each and every one of you to step forward. But today is a great blessing. Beautiful day. Să fie a petit de tu cașca o să tu ca each one in which was any vati you are be happy each one. Tako je čam peti kde i vači mi opi. Tu nečeš kruke opi. Tu nečeš kapliča opi. Oči ki učuša. Oči ki učuza. Čati je možavne. Pray for the people that come before us. Each and every one of you. Pray for your heart. Be strong. May your journeys be well blessed. May peace be with each and every one of you. Without us.
I'm going to put a clipboard out there and leave it out there so that everybody can make sure you get your name and information on the clipboard, and we're going to collect the cards out there. Thank you all very much, and blessings.